You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Live Monday mornings taking calls. Thanks for tuning in. Although you're 30 minutes late, we start the program at 6 minutes after the hour talking with Dan Aliff. Today's topic is Titans of Real Estate. He writes Titans of Fortune in the Saturday Santa Barbara News Press business section. Before the break, I mentioned that I grew up back east. I remember going up in lower Westchester County to the Roosevelts, their big estates that they had up there, and the Vanderbilts, big real estate homes. Now, these guys, he wasn't a real estate titan, but he just owned some nice homes that somehow got left.
It started off with Cornelius Vanderbilt. And he was involved in shipping originally, and he made most of his fortune in shipping. He also started the Staten Island Ferry, which is kind of interesting because he lived on Staten Island. He was a gruff guy who married a gal that was not too bright. And then when she refused to move from Staten Island to Manhattan, he threatened to have her incarcerated as being mentally deranged, at which point she decided she better move to Manhattan very quickly. He was that kind of a man, Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Really? Yeah. Well, he could have been a marriage counselor.
Oh, he could have been one, yes.
And what years, what decades, or when was this?
Well, this was in the 1800s, in the mid-1800s, early to mid-1800s.
So he was interplaying with John Jacob Astor.
Well, I think he was a little bit later. I mean, he was, when John Jacob Astor had already made his fortune, when Cornelius Vanderbilt was starting to build his shipping lines. Mm. But Cornelius was involved in shipping and in railroads. He didn't really have an interest in real estate.
Have you ridden the Staten Island Ferry?
Yes, I have.
As have I. So Vanderbilt owned a home back here as well?
Not here. He had a home in Newport, Rhode Island, where all the
Newport, during the break you said Newport, I figured Newport Beach.
No, Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And it lived right next door to somebody who I find much more fascinating than Cornelius, a fellow by the name of James Ben Ali Haggin. James Ben Ali Haggin made his fortune in California. He's originally from Kentucky, quite an unusual name. And according to the story, his grandfather was a Muslim who was involved in some kind of insurrection and was about to be executed, and he converted to Christianity the night before he was to be executed, and then he was miraculously saved the next day and ended up in New York as a medical professional of some kind.
So he popularized that, because I read about that all the time today, about people finding Christianity on death row.
He was the first guy. He was one of the very first. Became James Ben Ali. He was James Ben Ali Haggin's grandfather. James was born in Kentucky, made his way to California. He was a lawyer, and he formed a law partnership with Lloyd Tevis. And the two men had a partnership just right after the gold rush. And there were a lot of these land grants that had been given to Mexican land grants that were given to big families like Vallejo and Guerrero, De La Guerra, Alvarado. And what happened was they represented these families against the government was trying to confirm land titles. That was ostensibly their objective. The main objective was to get these titles out of these people's hands. So they set up this land commission, and the land commission was basically a trial to confirm or deny their right of ownership to these lands. A lot of these families were represented by Tevis and by Haggin. And what happened was that they won most of their cases. But by the time they won, they were owed so much money that a lot of these families had to give them a big part of the land grants as compensation.
I see.
So they ended up owning a big part of San Francisco and a big part of
Texas.
Sacramento, and then much of San Joaquin Valley. It's now called the Kern County Land Company, which is still one of the huge agricultural concerns in California.
Huh. Now, for some reason, I was just taking little notes. I wrote down Texas. Why did I write that?
Well, they were involved in Texas. They were involved in Kentucky.
Okay.
In fact, James Ben Ali Haggin was known as the Aga Khan of Kentucky. He had Elmendorf Farm in Kentucky, raised more thoroughbred horses than anybody else in the world, and was shipping them by trainloads from California, from Sacramento, and from Kentucky to New York, and then on to Europe. They sent so many thoroughbreds to Europe that England enacted a law to prevent any more thoroughbreds from being imported into England because they're all coming from Hagen's operations.
And again, this would have been mid-1800s, 1850s.
Yeah, it went from 1850s to the 1880s, 1890s. And they made a fortune. They owned probably 600,000, 700,000, maybe a million acres of land in California, not to mention what they owned. They owned a lot of property on Fifth Avenue. Hagen owned that mansion right next to Vanderbilt's in Newport, Rhode Island. He made a great fortune. He was partners with Lloyd Tevis and George Hearst, William Randolph's father, and the three of them owned the largest mining concern in the world. They owned Anaconda Mine, Homestake Mine, so they all the silver and copper produced worldwide was coming through their pockets.
You know, I talked to a lot of people in Santa Barbara who basically bought and buy and hold. And you just wonder, now you got my curiosity piqued, in Manhattan Island, which, you know, is a lot bigger than Santa Barbara, but like Santa Barbara, you know, you've got the East River and, you know, and the Henry Hudson, and you're bordered. You know, obviously they went up, but there's only so much land of Manhattan Island and the Rock. And so I wonder the history of how many of these people actually held on to some of their real estate in Manhattan.
I think the Hagen family owned land for quite some time in Manhattan because there are still Hagen descendants who live in New York. So I suspect that they owned other families. That there was a Thomas Larkin who made a fortune in California in real estate and then went back east and bought a lot of land in Manhattan, held on for about 5 to 8 years, then sold the land in Manhattan for a great fortune, returned to California.
And came back. Yeah. I asked the question because I seem to recall when I visited the Vanderbilt homes back east, and just reading about how the families keep getting bigger and bigger, and you have grandchildren, and then no one really wants to work. In other words, you had the son of John Rockefeller who made the oil, and the son was shrewd enough to invest it in real estate and made more money. But now all these people become trust fund babies, and everyone's just kind of sucking on this money pool, and it dwindles, and they, you know, and then suddenly you can't afford the taxes on these big homes, and then that's why they're donated probably. So it disperses so much. And is that, are we losing the titans of fortune, titans of real estate? Are today's day, is someone going to be doing a radio show 100 years from now? Are we going to have the same good stories, or are things changed?
Well, I think we'll have the same stories. History repeats itself. And I think you have people like Gates and Paul Allen. I'm sure they have massive real estate interests. This will continue, and people do make great amounts of money in real estate, as we both know, in development, although it's more difficult in a lot of regions to develop. Look at what happened in Las Vegas in the last 15, 20 years. Look how much that city's grown, or Phoenix, or Tucson. You have enormous growth in these places, and there are going to be certain families that have major real estate interests.
Right.
So I think this will continue. I think 100 years from now, your grandson or great-grandson will be running the show and having the same discussion with my great-granddaughter.
Just got a couple of minutes left. We might have time for Elias Lucky Baldwin.
He's no relation
to the piano?
No relationship to the piano.
Because I know you did the one on Steinway.
Right. No.
Whose original name was Steinhardt.
Steinhardt?
Whatever it was. He changed it to Steinway.
Steinway.
So, but Baldwin Park. Elias Lucky Baldwin. What decades? Where was he from?
Well, he was, again, in the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, and he came out to California. He was involved in mining. He came right after the gold rush in about 1853. He was a very astute businessman, but he was also amazingly lucky. He owned some stock in some companies. And right before he left for a trip to India to go elephant hunting, decided to sell all his stock.
You know, that happened to me right before I went elephant hunting.
But the difference is the result, I'm sure, was different from your experience. His result was that his broker didn't have the necessary papers to sell his stock. So while he was away for a year, couldn't sell the stock that he had. When he came back, the stock was worth 10 times, 20 times what it was at the time that he wanted to sell it. That was the kind of luck he had. Other examples of luck was that he was kind of a dissipated old guy who loved women, and some gal.
That's another thing we have in common.
I'm glad to hear that. Maybe that would be a show in itself. And then what happened was that he was in trial for some gal claimed that he had fathered her son, and he was in trial, and some other woman came and shot him point blank, and somehow the bullet hit glasses or something he was wearing and ricocheted, and he should have been dead. But he had these experiences of luck, one after another, but he was very, very astute in real estate. So he owned Rancho Santa Anita, and where Santa Anita Racetrack, and he was the one who developed Santa Anita Racetrack, Baldwin Park, Baldwin Avenue, quite a bit of San Pedro. And he never liked to be photographed. I saw one picture of him, and I understand why. He's an ugly cuss. But he somehow, he had the money.
But lucky in love.
But lucky, I'm not sure he was lucky in love.
Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you. I can see why you can write these columns.
They're a lot of fun. I enjoy researching these people, writing about them.
Titans of Real Estate from the author of the column Titans of Fortune. Again, Saturday's News Press, the business section. Are you working on a book right now?
Yes, I have a book that's before a number of publishers. We're waiting to see what happens with that. And I've got two or three other books based on these titans. The one that I have before the publishers now are 60 people who started with nothing, made incredible fortunes. I have one book, just California Titans. Another one on Titans of Finance. I'll probably have
so
one
some
on
books
titans
that are that are out right now.
Books that are being shopped at publishers.
Being shopped. Yeah. So you look for Dan Aleff, A-L-E-F.
That's right.
And if you need any money or seed money, I know Matt here has got some money he's trying to invest in, so you can see him after the program. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll stay tuned. We'll come back for the fourth and final segment, unless we go into overtime. We'll do the weekly multiple listing sales update. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.